What did you learn from your visits with the beloved guardian? And I should say, friends, these questions come from you. Well, you can answer it any way you want.
I think while the hands of the cause are here, I think that's not appropriate for me to say anything in this regard, because Mrs. Panani also feels this.
Gentlemen, let's go home.
I can see.
I don't know what to say about this, because before going and visiting the guardian, I've always heard in our household the name of the guardian constantly. I tell you a secret. Please don't say to anybody. Well, I hope my husband won't hear it. When we were married, would you like to know that? The very first thing that he told me, the very first time that after the party we went home, he told me, "I don't want anything from you. Nothing. Just one thing I desire, and that you love the guardian the way I do." Of course, this was very difficult for me, because I could never love the guardian the way that he did. I said, "I try." And in order to really this accomplish in our life, probably he had a plan for me, and he started to take me to the Holy Land. Each time that we went there, it was a feeling that cannot be described. The feeling that the world is full now, is not empty anymore. When the guardian sat with me alone, think about it. The guardian of the cause of God, in many of our trips, I was just the only one, lady, visiting the guardian. Maybe this is not the answer to your question, but I have to say this. The guardian used to visit the Eastern gentleman in the afternoon, walking in the shrine of the Baal, and visiting the ladies at the household of Abdul Baha. And in the afternoon, I was the only one lady visiting the guardian. Now you think about it. I was there, and the guardian was there and telling me things and talking about the progress of the faith, the future of administrative order in the world order of Baha'u'llah. And I was only listener. I thought so low, so unworthy. And the period that he was there was constantly talking. Not one minute he stopped, because his mind was so full of the future of the cause and the way that the cause will be. And I didn't have any ability to really understand it. But the only one thing I understood, that the guardian is everything in our life. Now you have to think with this feeling that what happened to us as a household when the guardian passed away. I didn't answer you, but it's as far as I could picture the guardian for the audience from my heart. Thank you.
This question is for Mr. Robart. What did Shoghi Effendi say about Amatul Baha Ruhiya Khanum?
Oh, he said so many things about Amatul Baha Ruhiya Khanum. He loved her so dearly, and she loved. He said many things about Ruhiya Khanum, and she so many things about him. She was so devoted to him. But in speaking about her, in a telegram to the Baha'is of Canada, he said, "She who is destined to be my helpmate, my shield from the darts of the covenant breakers, my indefatigable collaborator in my arduous labors." And that is what she was.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This question is for Mrs. Banami. What is your most cherished memory of visiting Shoghi Effendi?
I have so many cherished memories. I don't know which one to say. You know, I visited twice. The first time we visited him was in 1934. And the second one was in 1952, after we pioneered to Africa. And he was so kind, and he showered us with love. I don't know which one to tell you, really. Because, as Mrs. Khadem said, when we were there, most of the time I was alone with him. And he kept us, instead of 9 days, 24 days. I'm sure most of the friends heard that our beloved guardian appointed the second contingent of the hand of the cause, and my husband was one of them. But we didn't know. And he asked the members of in International Council not to tell them, because I want to wait when they go back to send the cable. Then after 2-3 days, he told them, "I cannot wait. I want to tell him, but not now." But we were noticing that all the Baha'is in Haifa were very kind to us. They are really doing so many wonderful things. I thought, because we are pioneering in Africa. Till the last day, when we were leaving Haifa and we went to say goodbye. Then, when we arrived in the room, our beloved guardian turned to my husband and said, "You know, I was very busy last few weeks, and I appointed some more hand of the cause, and you are one of them." When he mentioned "you are one of them," I turned to my husband. I thought, now he's transferring to something else. Really, I was shocked, happy, excited. I didn't know what to say. Then he gave us some instruction, and he turned to me and said, "Now you must go and help your husband and serve the faith." My husband was crying and begging him, "I am not worthy. Please give this bounty to my son-in-law, Ali." And guardian said, "No, this is your reward. His time will come."
Thank you.
You remember yesterday Mr. Khadem was telling about how our beloved guardian was sensitive and how he could read the mind of the friend. You know, the first time when we were in Haifa, the wife of Abdul Baha was still alive. And she recognized me from my background, my great grandmother. And she told me about my great grandmother who was in the base of Abud, in that little room with 13 people slept in it. And my great grandmother was, she slept on the shelf. And then she fell on Abdul Baha. Then she was so embarrassed. Next day she left and went and stayed with one of the Baha'is, and she was in bed for 8 months. She asked permission from Baha'u'llah and left. Moni Rahman told me, yes, I remember your great grandmother. Then second time when we went to Haifa, I wanted to ask our beloved guardian, but I couldn't. Several times I just went to say something and I stopped. Till one day we went to Beit Abud. When we came back and went to visit him, he came to the room and asked me, did you go to Akka? I said, yes. He said, have you been to Beit Abud? Yes. Did you go to that room? I said, yes. And just like I asked him, he said, yes, I remember very well. Abdul Baha told me that story about your great grandmother. I was so happy. And something else, excuse me if I'm talking too much, I didn't want to say anything but this. Something else which I want to tell the parents of small children. You know, in 1952, when we were going to Haifa, we didn't have assembly yet in Kampala. We had a Baha'i group, and Guardian was busy building the shrine. The Baha'i group of Kampala decided to send some contribution for the building, and everybody gets something. Then my granddaughter Bahia was only 4 years old. She was collecting pennies, and she had about 2.5 shillings in her box. She brought it to me and said, Mama John, please take this and give it to the guardian and tell him, if he asks you who gave you this money, tell him Bahia Nakhchabani, and tell him that I say my prayer every night and every day. I said, all right. Ali said, oh, Mama Jan, no, don't do that. I said, of course I'm going to tell him. Then we went to Haifa, and I told Adya. Suddenly, his tears was running all over his face. And he said, yes, this is the way Baha'is should bring up their children from childhood to get used to this giving to the farm. I remember several times in conventions or big meetings, I told the story, and the fund. Now, I hope everybody remembers that.
Our next question is for Mrs. Robards. Please tell us about your first visit with the guardian.
That's a very hard thing to do. All these pilgrimages over the years have all been different, and we were the first family, first the four members together who went on pilgrimage. Shortly before, there had been Rafi and Mildred Motahedi with Roy, and Ruhia Hanum and Shoghi Effendi said that was the first time family members had come together. That may have been just the Western pilgrims, I don't know, but she said that. And, oh, I can't picture this. When Shoghi Effendi came into the room where we were to have dinner at a table like this, in the house that was the Western pilgrim house, which was where the hands lived in the time of the custodians, and where the house later had their offices. Shoghi Effendi was there, and it was an indescribable thing. We knew, at least I did in my heart, from reading Shoghi Effendi's writing and being very touched once I had mastered the long sentences, and to think that here was the sign of God on earth, the priceless pearl, the guardian of the faith, the guardian of the faith, chosen by Abdul Baha. I was just amazed that there could be a human being like that. And when this human being sat down to dinner and I was sitting beside him, and he talked and became the perfect host and talked with John, talked, there was only one other Western pilgrim there. And I can't go into all that, but this went on for nights, dinner like that with Yogi Effendi. And in what Glenn said today about Yogi Effendi's style, about his writing, it reminded me of one of the pilgrims who was, the pilgrim who was there. Yogi Effendi was telling about the future, and it was just fascinating. Now when I read his writing, I can hear his voice saying those very things. And he was saying them at the table just to us, just a few people around the table. It was incredible. And she said, you know, the friends wanted me to ask this and ask that and ask the other. And they were just questions that, you know, just ordinary questions. And Yogi Effendi, there was just one half a second when all of a sudden he said, why don't they read my book? And it touched my heart to think that Yogi Effendi had to suffer after that work, after the covenant breakers, after the pilgrims and the bothers and things, and after all the kind of life he lived. Imagine just the gardens alone and translating. It was just a terrible feeling. Just, it only lasted a second, but I'll never forget it. He said, why don't they read my book? And it was Glenn's talk today that brought that up. That's much too long. I could go on forever.
For Mr. Kadem, what is the significance of there being no will left by the guardian?
Very difficult to say. Well, I think this is my own understanding. First of all, let's see what will means. Baha'u'llah, in the book of Abdus, he gives us, he says, everyone should write a will. And the purpose of the will, Baha'u'llah says, it should be adorned with the name of God and to testify the oneness of God and his belief in Baha'u'llah in this revelation. This is the purpose of the will in the book of Abdus. And then if he has any property, any material things, the way he wants to be distributed, he should write it down. In that sense, I believe the beloved Yogi Effendi did it exactly, because everything he said to the Baha'is verbally or wrote down, that was testifying the glory of Baha'u'llah and his belief and faith in Baha'u'llah, which he did. Then when it comes to the distribution of the properties, the guardian did not have anything to distribute. Ahmad al-Bahar Rui Khanom wrote to the Israel government and announced that neither me nor the beloved guardian have a penny in this world. Apparently, we are poor, but we are the richest people in this world. So that we can't say he did not leave his will, because his will is in all his writings. But in the meantime, once he said to me, in Persian and then mentioned in English, he said, I have written an epistle about the beliefs of the Baha'is. And he said, and the name is Dispensation of Baha'u'llah. He said it in English. And he paused. He said, indeed, that is my will and testament. And then he said, I'll give you a copy to study. This is my will. He said, I have written particularly in order that no difference would arise after me. And in that one, the beloved Yogi Effendi
we all have it, and he dared me to translate parts of it for the friends in Persia. Well, you know the chapter on the Baal and the Baha'u'llah and the titles of these two twin manifestations, and then he speaks about Abdu'l-Bahá. He explained to me, he said, formerly, when the friends spoke about the Baal, they simply said the Baal was forerunner of the Baha'u'llah and passed by. They never elaborated about the station of the Baal. And he said that was the wisdom in those days, because of the, you know, the Baalis, those who denied Baha'u'llah, we did not stress. And then the guardian paused. He said, this was my duty, and a great duty, to explain and to uplift the station of the Baal. Well, I say it in Persian, exactly his words. And then in taklif man bud, va taklif shadid bud, ke maqam barak ro boland kone. For that purpose, he wrote that chapter, he translated Nabil's narrative, he wrote so many wonderful passages about the station of the Baal, and he said his station is not only foreigner. He confirmed it by the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá, when he said it from memory. He liked everybody, particularly the youth, to memorize from the writing. He said, Abdu'l-Bahá has written that the foundation of the, I'm paraphrasing, the foundation of the belief of the people of Baha is that the Baal is the manifestation of unity and oneness of God, and forerunner for Baha'u'llah. He said, when the friends speak about the Baal, they must say first that he was manifestation of unity, and then forerunner, because being manifestation has priority. This is in the will and testament. And then he said, he paused, he said he was not only forerunner of Baha'u'llah, he was also forerunner of the world order of Baha'u'llah, when he wrote down in his mother book, Bayan, well, it is with he who gazes upon the order of Baha'u'llah, so that three stations for the Baal. And then he came, he spoke about Abdu'l-Bahá. He said, Abdu'l-Bahá, in his will and testament, he doesn't speak of himself at all. And then he said, that was my duty also, my responsibility, to uplift and to say the friends about the station of Abdu'l-Bahá. And he used certain words, certain terms, which in Persian it can explain, and it's just like lordship. And then Ahadi Fei Bekun Hizalt Mbaurakash Nabordevanakohat. In the whole world, nobody can fathom, can know the depth of the station, of the knowledge of station of Abdu'l-Bahá. That is one of the mysteries of God. That's why Baha'u'llah calls him the greatest mystery. So I gathered that because the Baal and Abdu'l-Bahá did not explain out of his modesty in his will and testament, the beloved guardian wrote the dispensation of Baha'u'llah, and whatever he has written in the dispensation of Baha'u'llah is our belief. If we had, well, that was not God's will, we had another guardian, I'm sure that he would write about the station of the beloved guardian. I just wanted to express my deep gratitude to the Tahereh, to this music, and to say that the beloved Çoğlu Efendi liked very much the song, and when he was a child, very young, going to the school, he led the choir, and he liked it. And when he went to England, in Manchester, we received some letters from the early believers in Manchester, they say that after 45, 60 years has passed, still we remember the song that the beloved Çoğlu Efendi told them and taught them in England, and the way it's written, Sinai Hak Por Nur Shod, that was the song that the guardian taught them, even to those people, to the British people, who did not know Persian. And I admire what you did. It was wonderful. the song and the music you have tonight. We enjoy the show.
Our next question is for Mr. Robart. What did Shoghi Effendi say about the hand of the cause, Musa Banani?
He loved Mr. Banani, and so did I. We just loved him so much. He was the only hand in Africa for many years. And then suddenly, that year, I think it was October 5th, 1957, he named three other hands to cause. He named Enoch Olinga and Bill Sears and me. And Mr. Banani cabled us and asked us to come and meet in his house on the 15th of October. And we went, and there we talked to Mr. Banani. And we heard many things about what the Guardian had said about him. And when we had our pilgrimage, that is Audrey and Patrick and Nina and I were in Haifa in 1955. And there we heard a great deal about this perfectly wonderful man who had been quite well off financially, and he decided to build himself a beautiful big house in... No. In Tehran. And so he built it and had it all nicely set up, ready to move in, when suddenly he became a Baha'i. He cabled the Guardian, saying he would go anywhere in the world, and so the Guardian cabled him to go to Kampala. So they never spent even a day in that house. They went to Kampala, and the Guardian expressed the fact that he was the father of Africa. And he was so greatly loved by so many people. He had served the faith with such devotion. And he said to me, when you return to your home, which was in southern Africa, will you go near Kampala where Mr. Banani is? I said, yes, beloved Shoghi Effendi, we will certainly go there. And so we went. And Mr. Banani was not only quite a well-to-do man, but he was very modest. And when I began to tell him the things that the Guardian had said about him, he was embarrassed. He didn't want me to go on. He wanted me to stop. But he just didn't feel he could take these beautiful things. But the Guardian loved him very much, and had expressed this love for him, and so this is what I was trying to do. And Mr. Banani, we were standing out on his veranda one day, and he said, you know, Shoghi Effendi one time said to me, if you wanted to, you could... God could raise you up so you could serve the faith and be stronger than that stone out there. And Mr. Banani told us he could never understand why he had said it, but he said, now I know. The Guardian felt that I had the strength to consume that rock. And now, he said, I am really going to do the best I can with that.
Mrs. Kadem, what was it about Shoghi Effendi that evoked such love and devotion from the hands of the cause? What was it about Shoghi Effendi that evoked such love and devotion from the hands of the cause?
I think to answer this question is very difficult because the hands of the cause were appointed by Shoghi Effendi for the qualities that they had. They all were in love with the guardian. And I think being in the presence of the hand of the cause is really a bounty and blessing. I'm not talking about my own husband. Please don't think that I'm praising him. Of course I should. But honestly, to tell you the truth, that when the hand of the cause in a room, you feel that